Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, August 9th, 2020. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope everybody had a great week. We're going to go through a list of topics for today's episode, and then we're going to jump right into it. So in this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, GCW. I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode titled A Birthday and a Death. As always, I have my recommended show for you for independentwrestling.tv, and I also have a free YouTube match for y'all to check out. So, without any further ado, let's just jump right into it. Starting off with my recommended show on IWTV, this week, my show is St. Louis Anarchy's Spirit of Spalding Block A. So this is a multi-night tournament. Block A happened on Friday, August 7th, 2020. It happened in Alton, Illinois, which is an area that I know kind of well. I've done a few trips up there to check out Glory Pro shows, so shout out to Glory Pro, as well as, of course, St. Louis Anarchy. They're doing some really great stuff in that area. This is a really, really great show. Block B is going to be on August the 21st, so anybody wants to check that out after hearing this and checking this show out, Block A happened this past Friday. Block B will happen on August the 21st. So, these are the matches to expect if you want to check this out on independentwrestling.tv. We had Gary J versus The Kenway, who used to be known as Matt Kenway, who's just now The Kenway or Kenway. We had Sean Orleans versus Jake Durden, Billy Starks versus Mikey, Cole Radrick versus Edric Connors, Ace Perry versus Bastard Cassidy, and Thomas Shire versus Freddie Ahai. So a really great match with a lot of really great talent. Gary J is somebody I talk about all the time on this show. He is one of my favorite independent wrestlers. He's had a legendary feud with Warhorse over the years, and of course, Warhorse is now becoming more and more well-known, especially after people saw him against Cody for the AEW TNT Championship on Dynamite a few weeks ago. Kenway, a guy with a lot of potential, somebody I believe I've seen him live at SUP, in Southern Underground Pro. I'm pretty sure I've seen him there at least a couple times. Then you had Sean Orleans on the show. It's interesting seeing him in there because he was a guy who, I'm not going to get into the specifics, but he was basically a part of cancel culture back when, I mean, this is a couple years ago. It was tied to the whole Michael Elgin stuff going on back then. But, you know, it looks like that time has passed, and it looks like, you know, Sean Orleans is back in the ring. And I don't know if he ever left. I just haven't seen a whole lot of him since that time. He was a guy that I found out about through Glory Pro, the company I just mentioned just a minute ago. I had seen him, you know, going by the moniker Dad Bod. And anyway, he was on the show, so it was interesting to see him. We also had Billy Starks, who my boy Mouse, a.k.a. Robert Bellamy. Well, his real name's Robert Bellamy. I guess you should say Robert Bellamy, a.k.a. Mouse, who, in my opinion, is the best wrestling photographer in the world. I'm not talking just independent wrestling. I'm talking all wrestling. He is the man, and he has been talking about Billy Starks for quite a while, and she's somebody who's really starting to come into her own. So it's really great to see the stuff she's doing because Mouse is a great guy. I'm pulling for Billy just by association. I've never met Billy in person, but I am a fan of hers, and I hope to meet her sometime in the near future whenever things get kind of more back to normal. And I can get out to some shows more, you know, more regular again. More people want to talk about. We had Everett Connors on the show, another guy I found out through Glory Pro years back. I really, really get entertained by that guy. Like, he doesn't take himself seriously, which I really enjoy. It's hard to explain. I like his social media. I like how he's not afraid to, you know, make fun of himself. And he's getting better in the ring. Like, he's progressing. So, I mean, I'm all about it, so I'm definitely an Everett Connors fan. Cole Radrick is somebody who's been grinding for a while now, and I got to give a shout out to him. Definitely check out Cole Radrick if you haven't already. He's a guy. It took me a little while to get kind of warmed up to watching him wrestle. For whatever reason, it didn't click right away. But the more I watched, the more that I definitely respect the guy. So definitely got to give him a shout out. And I know quite a few people. Like, we have a lot of mutual friends, I guess, let's put it that way. We have a lot of mutual friends that talk very highly of him, so definitely want to give him that shout-out. Some other people, I mean, Thomas Shire and Freddie Ahai, this is such a great matchup. For those of you who have never seen Thomas Shire, he's a real throwback of a wrestler. Wears the wrestling singlet. Has decent size, at least in comparison to a lot of the guys he wrestles, on the indie scene. But it's hard to explain. Very hard to explain. I'm trying to put my nose on kind of like who I'd compare him to. But the fact that it's hard for me to do that is actually, it's good. The more unique you can be in pro wrestling, as far as I'm concerned, is the better. And I really enjoy Shire's work. The little bit that I've seen, I've maybe only seen maybe 10 or 15 of his matches. So he's someone I need to really, keep my eyes out for more often. And he's another guy that I heard about for a while before I started seeing him. Like I'd hear his name here and there, and there were some people's whose, opinions I really respect on wrestling that were talking him up big to me, a little while back, basically saying like, he's the kind of, because I really like, athletic wrestling. I like people who are like wrestling based, but can mix in, the athleticism with like the realism, and he mixes well, he's kind of, I love MMA guys as well, and he's like this wrestler grappler, but he's got power. He does a little bit of everything. I really like it. And then you have Freddie Ahai, who, in my opinion, is one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's a guy that, for years, I think has been kind of like the hidden gem of independent wrestling. Like, he's a dude where it's hard to explain, but it's like, if you know about Freddie Ahai, you know about Freddie Ahai. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard. It's really hard to verbalize. It's like one of these guys, he's the type of guy where, like, if I'm a wrestling fan and I go to an independent show and wind up just randomly talking to another random fan, and we both realize that we're Freddie Ahai fans, you immediately have like this level of respect for them as a wrestling fan. It's really weird, I guess, to kind of put it like that. But I think y'all listening kind of know what I mean. Like, it's kind of like, here's a perfect example. I was at Walmart earlier today. I was looking for those AEW figures. I've went every day since Monday, actually since Sunday, because I was hoping they'd put them out, early. So I've been going up there for a full week every day. And today I was up there, and, they didn't have the figures again. Go figure. No pun intended. And I'm standing in the aisle, and this other guy standing next to me looks around my age. I turned to him, and I was like, looking for the AEW figs? And he was like, yeah, man. We were both bummed out that they weren't there. We just wind up getting to talking, and he talks about a couple wrestlers and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, are you a Major Mark? And I was like, yeah, man, big time. Because we both, we listen to the Major Brothers podcast, and we watch the YouTube channel. And, we're all about, Broski and Smart Mark and Brian Myers and all those guys that are part of that channel. And so just by him mentioning Major Mark, it immediately put him on this different level with me. I just met this guy, and immediately I'm like, okay, he just opened this whole box of things I can bring up that he's going to know about. We can have these like fun conversations about. So same kind of thing with Freddie Ahai. And there's a lot of other wrestlers you can put on that type of list, but it's one of those things where like, if I find out you're a Freddie Ahai fan, I'm like, oh, okay, I know what type of wrestling you're into. I know that you pay attention, like what kind of promotions you must be paying attention to. And I know, it's just one of those things. And he's a guy who, I hate to say it, but if he was like a foot and a half taller, he'd be like the biggest thing in pro wrestling. Like the guy, he's charismatic. He's incredible in the ring. He's one of the best technical wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. And his height really shouldn't limit him, especially in today's climate of pro wrestling. But I just feel like he would have been noticed a lot quicker if he was larger. And I hate to say that, but I just think it is the truth when it comes to that, unfortunately. But he's a guy that's going to work through it. I mean, he's going to shine. This guy is so good. He would be, I mean, if he were to go to like Ring of Honor, the things he could do against like Jonathan Gresham, they could have such incredible matches together. If Freddie has showed up in Impact, I think he would immediately make a, pun intended this time, he would make a real big impact in that company, because he would get himself over so quickly in that kind of climate. In AEW, he would be a perfect kind of guy to eventually, go up against Cody for the TNT title, or have, just a great match with someone like Jungle Boy, or just, There's so many options for a guy like AI. NXT, same kind of thing. He can make anybody look good, and he has solid matches. He's consistently solid. And it's more than just solid. He's consistently a great performer. I'm very high on Freddie Ahai, and he's somebody that I don't talk about often enough on this show. But he's one of those guys that, he's right in there with the types of guys, in my opinion, that are along the lines of like Warhorse and Mance Warner and Matthew Justice, and then those types of guys, Curt Stallion, that are right there ready to break out. So huge shout out to Freddie Ahai, and huge shout out to this whole show. Once again, this was St. Louis Anarchy. The show is called Spirit of Spalding Block A, and it's available right now on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, I got a match that I'm going to recommend y'all check out on YouTube. It is for free on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel. And this match was the Ring of Honor World title, Kevin Steen versus Eddie Kingston. And it's from Boiling Point 2012. It was recently uploaded on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel in full, so you can check the whole match out 100% for free. And I chose it because obviously Kevin Steen has gone on to have the career he's had as Kevin Owens in the WWE, and Eddie Kingston recently signed with AEW. And we talked about that a few weeks back on the Weekender here on this show. Kingston got himself so over with his promo and his match against Cody and his one appearance so far with AEW that they signed him to a full contract, which is just incredible. So if you want to kind of get back in a time machine and go back to 2012 and check out this, I mean, it's a violent match, so be warned, but really, really great stuff and great storytelling. And there was this whole, this you could even peel back curtains even farther. I mean, with Eddie Kingston's relationship with Chikara and Kevin Steen's, rocky relationship with Ring of Honor, and there's a lot that these guys have done in the pro wrestling business on the indie scene for such a long time. And Owens obviously has gone on to have a much more well-known mainstream wrestling career, of course. Eddie Kingston, did some stuff with Impact, did some stuff with National Wrestling Alliance, but ultimately now is just now kind of getting his chance to shine. But back in 2012, it was kind of looked at the other way around, I felt like. Eddie Kingston was more of like the vet type of guy, and Kevin Steen was more of like the up-and-comer, whereas now, I'm not saying the roles have reversed, because Eddie Kingston's still Eddie Kingston, but to the mainstream audience that doesn't pay attention to the indies, Eddie Kingston's a new name now, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. But I mean, I don't have to say it, but obviously incredibly well deserved for Eddie Kingston to be getting the shot he's getting now. So once again, 100% for free, you can jump on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel and you can check this match out. It's Kevin Steen versus Eddie Kingston from Boiling Point 2012, and it is my recommended match of the week. All right, moving on, we have some results. We're going to jump right into Impact Wrestling. So, I've been watching these shows, for a while now through Twitch, which I really enjoy, because I watch a lot of Twitch anyways. I watch people live stream pretty often, whether it's on Twitch or YouTube or even, DLive now is doing some stuff, Mixer while it was around, yada yada. So I really like that Impact has embraced Twitch. Because I for someone like me who actually, I very rarely ever watch cable television, it's nice to just already be on Twitch or on YouTube through my Xbox or whatever and just click right over to Twitch. It's nice. And it's also nice that they just have a running 24/7 Twitch channel where you can just go on there and just watch wrestling for free whenever you want to. So I've always liked that about Impact Wrestling, ever since their partnership with Twitch. As far as this actual show goes, first match we had was Moose retaining the TNA Championship. He defeated Heath after hitting a low blow. I mean, it's interesting to see what they're doing with Heath because it looks like they're kind of really beating him down, like getting him to like his like rock bottom, like his lowest point, and then something's gonna happen. So whether that's him teaming with Rhino to like rebuild his self value or whatever, or just snapping completely and like an all off, all on, heel turn of some kind. I don't know, but it seems like they're definitely building to something with Heath. But I don't know what it is yet. And it's also the type of climate right now in Impact Wrestling where Heath can get very lost in the mix very quickly. So for fans of you who are fans of Heath's out, I'll keep almost calling him Heath Slater. For fans of Heath. Having a hard time saying this. it's going to be an interesting spot right now because obviously Heath fans for years have wanted him to break through in the WWE and be used more than just, you know, a jobber, mid-carder type guy, mainly jobber throughout his WWE career. Where, you know, now he has this new opportunity and Impact, and he's getting kind of jobbed out right off the bat, kind of. Not that, like, losing to Moose is jobbing, but they haven't really made Heath look great so far. He had this kind of weak fight with Rohit Raju at Slammiversary and been getting kicked out of the building and stuff, and it's strange. So once again, I think it's all building towards something, and whatever that something is, he's going to need to deliver. Otherwise, he might be right in that same spot he was in with the WWE, but just now in another company. So we'll see what happens. And Moose, you know, he keeps doing what he's doing. It just is what it is. I'm not the biggest Moose fan. I've said that many times throughout, you know, the history of this show. I just think he's above average, but nothing special to me. Like, he's obviously athletic. He's had some good matches. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like he goes out there and has terrible matches or anything like that. But the whole TNA title thing is still really weird to me. I don't know. It's once another one of those things. And there's been some stuff in kind of his personal life that's kind of flooded over into Twitter in, you know, past years and even more recently that it's hard for me to get behind the guy. So, you know, for me, this match just kind of was what it was. But as far as progressing the storylines and those kind of things, it all made sense, in my opinion. And Moose is still the TNA champion. The next match we had was Eddie Edwards retaining the Impact World Championship. It was an open challenge. He defended over Sami Callihan. Before the match, Sami Callihan got attacked by... I can't remember who attacked him, though. Was it... It wasn't... I can't remember who attacked... Sami Callihan. So, sorry about that, but I definitely remember getting attacked on the show. It just doesn't say here in my notes. So I apologize about that, but Sami Callihan got attacked right before the match and got beaten down pretty bad and then still wound up having the match, and it was a solid match. Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan have obviously had, you know, a long running feud in Impact Wrestling for a long time now, so solid. I mean, nothing in comparison, in my opinion, to what Cody's doing with the AEW TNT open challenges. And, you know, obviously nothing along the lines of, like, what John Cena was doing with the U.S. open challenges or anything like that. But, you know, maybe Eddie will keep this going and it'll get better and better. Or it'd also be nice to just kind of see somebody beat him for the title quick. Like, somebody that I think would be more interesting with the title. Like Ace Austin, for instance. I think it's just so obvious of a choice. But you have, like, Ace Austin... you even have Trey, you have Willie Mack, who's like, looks like he's going to be kind of doing a redemption type storyline soon, because, you know, he's out of the mix for the X Division title now after losing to Chris Bay twice. So, so there's options, and there's other people I'm not even mentioning yet. You know, you have EC3 in the mix, but it looks like he's going after Moose, forgot to mention that with Moose. So that'll be interesting. I'd imagine EC3 is going to beat Moose for the TNA title, which then may make things a lot more interesting as well when it comes to Moose and that whole storyline and that belt being involved and stuff. So it makes me kind of take back a little bit what I said about the top of this show. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I did forget for a second about EC3's involvement. The next match we had, you know, speaking of Chris Bay, we had TJP and Falaba defeat Chris Bay and Rohit Raju. The finish came after TJP hit an armbar, and that was actually the main event of the show. It was a good show, though. There was the most important thing I almost missed. Rich Swann came out, which was the main event. I was getting confused for a second because I was like, I know something else happened beyond just that tag team match. So what was basically the main event of the show, although it wasn't a match. Rich Swann came out and basically talked about Eric Young attacking him at Slammiversary, and then he retires from wrestling. And the whole locker room comes out, and everybody's, you know, clapping for him and cheering for him, and, you know, it's the big send-off for Rich Swann. And as he walks up the ramp to go to the back, he's by himself, you know, taking in the moment, And Eric Young comes out of nowhere and just beats him down, hits him with a crutch, just breaks a crutch right over the broken leg of Rich Swann. And Swann is just yelling and screaming, you know, in pain and agony. And Eric Young runs away, you know, he runs off and gets away with it. And Rich is just laying there just, you know, irate and in pain. This is a good storyline. And this has been a solid show. Impact Wrestling, since, you know, the build-up to Slammiversary, and especially Slammiversary on, it's got more buzz about it than it has in quite some time. And the matches, these shows have been solid. I think they're pushing the right people. The thing I don't like about the show, which I actually didn't even talk about because I just tried to, like, bury it out of my head, is Wrestle House. I don't like the Wrestle House segments. I think they're really stupid. Although I will say this. And this is, I'm an open-minded guy. I've tried to make that really clear. That my mind can be changed about things. Johnny Swinger, at this point, I am a fan. I have roasted and not been a fan of this guy for you know, it feels like years at this point, but it's really just been months, I guess, as far as Impact is concerned. I watched him when he was back in ECW. I watched him back in, like, the early days of TNA. I watched him in WCW. I watched him in his brief run in WWE. I've been very aware of Johnny Swinger for a long time, and I was really, really against him being a part of the company in 2020 because I didn't think it made any sense. But the guy has won me over at this point. He's the one thing about Wrestle House that I do enjoy because I do think he is very funny, the way he just leans into just how lame he is as a character, you know. So, and he seems like a good guy. Denise and Sean Ross Sapp have both from Fightful have both done interviews with him in the past, and he seems like a really good guy. So once again, you know, I'm enjoying Impact. I really can't say anything negative about it outside of Wrestle House. And, you know, we're also going to wind up getting Deonna Purrazzo and Jordynne Grace in a rematch, which is going to be awesome considering how, you know, incredible their... is that what's happening? I think that's what's happening next. Now I'm getting confused because Kylie Rae also won. So Kylie Rae is going to be in there with Deonna Purrazzo at some point as well. So that's all to say that the Impact women's division right now is very, very good. And they just lost Tessa Blanchard, who in my opinion is the best women's wrestler in the world. But that's a whole other subject where she's going to wind up and who knows what's going on with that at the moment. But with Tessa out of the picture, Impact still has, and to be fair, you know, Tessa was wrestling the men most of the time anyways at this point. So she wasn't really being plucked out of the women's division, although she did wrestle women and men. But the point being, Impact's women's division is as good, in my opinion, as any women's division in wrestling right now. And I really mean that as a really big compliment. So good stuff from Impact again this week. It's one more thing I'll say about this. As somebody who talks about Impact Wrestling every week, and I've been talking about it, I've been doing The Weekender now for over a year and a half, I think, getting close to 2 years. This is the most fun I'm having talking about Impact since I've been doing The Weekender, because the shows have been solid, they're pushing mainly the right people, and it feels like there's actually at least a little bit of a buzz about the company where people are, like, having fun and excited talking about the company, which makes me a lot more excited and happy to talk about the company as well. So thanks to everyone who's keeping me in those conversations. You know, if you want to hit me up on Twitter at @FightTalk_, @FightTalk_, I love talking to people about Impact Wrestling on Twitter and stuff. It's been a lot of fun lately. Moving on, we have GCW results. The show is called Keep in Touch, and it happened last Sunday, but after I had recorded The Weekender last Sunday. So go ahead and give you the results for this show. Started off with Tony Deppen defeating Benjamin Carter. We had Cole Radrick defeating Kylie Rae. KTB defeating Calvin Tankman. Blake Christian defeating Trey Lamar. 440, which was the team of Ricky Shane Page and Atticus Koger, defeating Alley Cat and Effie. We had Mance Warner defeating Nate Webb. Alex Zane defeating Jordan Oliver, Jimmy Lloyd, Shane Mercer, Isaias Velasquez, and Ace Austin. Chris Dickinson defeated AJ Gray, and ACH defeated Joey Janela. That is a stacked card. I could go individually on and on about everyone on the show, but some people that I'll highlight that I haven't already on today's episode. Tony Deppen, I talk about him all the time. He's one of the most solid workers in the world right now. similar to Freddie Ajayi, his height is really the only thing that's kept him from blowing up faster, but he'll get there. I mean, regardless of where he winds up, Tony Deppen has the talent to get there. Benjamin Carter, incredible worker. He's going to be one of the future, you know, high flyers of professional wrestling. Both guys in this match, this is basically the future of independent wrestling. These two types of guys, Tony Deppen and Benjamin Carter. Cole Radrick already mentioned. Kali Ray I've already mentioned. Kali Ray, of course, doing great for herself in Impact Wrestling right now. We had some other people I'll put out there. Calvin Tankman, another guy, just keeps getting better and better. Big man with a lot of power, but got some speed as well. Can do a lot of stuff that a guy his size you wouldn't expect him to be able to. Blake Christian, same type of thing as Benjamin Carter. Blake Christian, he's ready to break through right now as well. He's so talented in the ring, does crazy stuff, so good. His timing's great. He's got a different type of look to him. I'm really, really big fan of Blake Christian. Ricky Shane Page, I'll give him a shout out. He's somebody that I wasn't a huge fan of initially, but the more I watch him, the more I respect it, and the more that I enjoy it. Coming from somebody who was a big Kevin Steen fan when he was on the indies, Ricky Shane Page reminds me a lot of him in some ways, and I mean that as a compliment, as a full-on compliment. You know, Alley Cat, one of my favorite independent wrestlers, male or female, or feline, for that matter. But she's one of the best women's wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. And she's somebody that I really think is going to blow up at some point soon on a mainstream wrestling show. I always talk about the totem pole of indie wrestlers, and I always put a bunch of men in that list. But if there was a female totem pole of the women wrestlers on the indies that are ready to be on mainstream television, whether it be Impact, Ring of Honor, and NXT, wherever, AEW, even New Japan, whatever. Alley Cat she's on that highest point of the totem pole. Effie, another guy I talk about all the time. We talk about presenting something different. He definitely presents something different. He presents a lot different. And he has a very large fan base because of it. And he's very good in the ring. A very charismatic guy. Doing a lot for the LGBTQ. I know I'm going to miss other stuff in there. And I apologize. He's doing a lot for those people in that movement and just inclusiveness in general. So got to give my props to Effie for what he's doing. Mance Warner, I talk about him all the time as well. He's ready to go. He is ready to be a major star in a mainstream company. Doesn't matter where he winds up. Mance Warner will be a top guy wherever he shows up. I have no doubt in my mind. He is ready right now. It's literally just a matter of time. Nate Webb, what can you say? Total vet. Been around forever, wrestled everybody, got the respect of everybody, probably the best entrance music of anyone on the indies. Other people on this show, I mean, Alex Zane, who won the six-man scramble, just, you know, put him in there, put him on the same list as, you know, Blake Christian and Benjamin Carter. Same type of thing. He's going to blow up sometime soon, and he is really one of the guys that I really think is the future of independent wrestling. Another guy in this match, Ace Austin, just mentioned him. I think he should be the Impact Wrestling champion at this point, and it needs to happen sometime soon, because I think he's probably the most interesting thing going on about that show, and that's saying a lot. That's a compliment as well, because being the most interesting part of a very interesting show is a great spot to be in. You had Chris Dickinson and AJ Gray. I mean, two other guys I talk about every single week, it feels like, because they're so good and they're wrestling so often. Both guys are on that same list. They're both ready. Chris Dickinson, I think, was probably going to get a big chance in a big company coming off of WrestleMania weekend, because he was booked in a lot of high-profile matches that weekend and that week. But, of course, that all didn't happen because of the pandemic. But Dickinson is a guy who he'll get his shot, but I think his shot was coming. And AJ Gray, I would not be surprised to see him pop up somewhere big soon as well. One of the best indie wrestlers in the world. One of the funniest guys on commentary. He's great on commentary. I've heard him do it for SUP. I mean, it does high-flying stuff, does power moves, just all-around, just a very entertaining guy. And this was ACH's big return. He took on Joey Janela. Obviously, Joey Janela, part of the AEW roster, doing great for himself right now. Really like his tag team with Sonny Kiss. And ACH, you know, had that crazy, breakup with the WWE, and now rebounding on the indies. And it's, he's got a lot of support behind him. So it's going to be really interesting to see, because his in-ring work has never been questioned. And I'm not going to get into like any sides on what happened with him, between himself and the WWE. I have my own opinions on it, and, I see both sides of it, but at the end of the day, like, the whole situation just sucked for everybody involved. And to see ACH, going out there to rebound his career, it's going to be fun to watch, I think, because, it's going to be very interesting at the very least, and he's obviously got the talent to do it. So we'll see what winds up happening in, in the future for ACH. So once again, that was GCW's Keep in Touch, and that is, I believe, still available through Fight TV, I believe, is the only place to get that show currently. It's weird with GCW because they do a lot through Fight TV, but they also have a lot of their catalog available on independentwrestling.tv. So wherever you can wind up finding this show, I'd recommend checking it out because it was very good. Last set of results I've got for you is some quick 205 Live. We had a tag team match to start it off where Ever-Rise defeated the team of Mikey Spandex and Marcus Carter. The finish came when Ever-Rise basically hit a wheelbarrow code breaker looking thing, but the code breaker was more to the chest than the head. This was what it was. Solid. I actually thought that Mikey Spandex and Marcus Carter looked pretty good in there. It's strange with Ever-Rise because, they're a tag team on a show that doesn't have a tag team title or really division, but it does obviously build them the more that they're having a chance, against NXT tag team title champions and, maybe getting a shot on, Raw or SmackDown at some point. They're getting tag team work in, which I like. They were, obviously, taken out and made to look like fools basically with Imperium. So they got a lot of building up to do, but 205 Live is definitely the place to do it. Once again, Ever-Rise with the win there. We got a promo. It was like this thing with Escobar, DJZ, what are they called? Joaquin Wild, that's his name now. And Raul Mendoza. I like what they're doing with Escobar though. I like that there's a real, character there and kind of the storyline of him and his goons, and I like it. I like what they're doing with it at the moment. The only other match we had on 205 Live, which of course was also the main event, was Danny Burch defeating Tony Nese. During the match, Arya Daivari actually returned to the show and attacked Oney Lorcan, who was ringside for his tag team partner Burch. Burch got sidetracked, but fought through it and wound up actually still beating Nese, after hitting a draping. It's basically how Randy Orton does the draping DDT off the middle rope, but Burch does it off the top rope. Looks really nice, and Burch gets the win, and it looks like they're building Burch more and more. He was recently beaten down by Karrion Kross as well, Danny Burch, so it looks like they're doing what they can to really build him up at the moment, which I really enjoy. Why not? He's a solid worker. Give more people more opportunities on shows like this. I'm all for it. So that was it for 205 Live. Lastly, I have a recap of the latest Being the Elite episode. It is titled A Birthday and a Death. Show starts off with Matt Jackson wrestling in black and white, and you can hear his thoughts as this is going on. And he's doing standing arm locks and doing headlocks, abdominal stretches. While he has the abdominal stretch on, he's thinking about how JR would really like he's doing the abdominal stretch. Looks like he's going to do a dive to the outside, but doesn't. He's making sure he's selling his left leg. He goes to the top rope and winds up just coming down the ropes, hits a bionic elbow. And this is all a segment to start off the show, which was the 50 plus seconds for 50 plus, which is, of course, AEW's dig on NXT for, having basically the only demographic that AEW is losing in, and it's by very little, is in the 50 plus demographic for the ratings. After that, we get a montage and stuff. It's a bunch of travel, the Young Bucks going out to eat with Brian Cage and Cutler and some other people. and they're recording AEW Dynamite reads into a microphone. So just, you know, some everyday stuff that they do. After that, we get the Young Bucks walking up to Silver and Reynolds. Silver and Reynolds are reading a Bible, but it's like a piece of paper that's written and taped onto a Bible that says Bible. Or not onto a Bible, onto a book that says Bible. Nick's really funny. He's talking about, he's like, oh, you guys were into Jesus? Oh, I thought you guys were jobbers. And John Silver's like, no, we only, you know, we only jobbed to the good Lord. And you could tell Nick almost corpses there. You could tell he was trying not to laugh. The Young Bucks are interested now, and they're like, oh, what are your favorite stories and stuff from the Bible? They have nothing to say. They don't know what to say. Reynolds winds up slipping some of the Kool-Aid into Matt's water, and Matt starts drinking it, which I think was interesting and very subtle, because he did drink a little bit of it. The Young Bucks bring up the story of Cain and Abel from the Bible, and the Dark Order start talking about Cain and his brother. And they're talking about the Undertaker, and they call him Mark, and it was really, really funny. Silver, especially, is just the MVP of BTE right now. The Young Bucks basically know that these guys aren't Christian AF, and they wind up booking Silver and Reynolds in a squash match on Dynamite. And they, you know, Silver and Reynolds think that the squash match means like they're going to be squashing another team. It turns out they're going to be wrestling. Well, the match already happened at this point, but it was Cody and Broski, what's his, Matt Cardona. So yeah, really great segment. Brody winds up walking up to Silver and Reynolds, and he's like, hey, did you guys wind up getting the Young Bucks? I saw him just leaving. And then he gets pissed off that they didn't get them and throws the book at him. Matt Jackson's talking to Christopher Daniels about the 50-plus demographic. Christopher Daniels is 50 years old, and he basically volunteers to, like, help out. Christopher Daniels starts freaking out, though, after he leaves the room, because he's like, what am I going to do? I'm the worst 50-year-old ever. I've been 50 for, like, he says he's been 50 for, like, a month, and he collects comic books, and his son beats him in wrestling, and he doesn't know what will help, and then he realizes infomercials. That's the key, is infomercials for the 50-plus demographic. After that, we see the Young Bucks talking ringside at Dynamite, and they're filming the matches and stuff, and there was a red light over them, and I thought it was really funny because I believe it was Nick mentions, oh, it just means the Fiend's coming out, which was really funny. After that, backstage, we see FTR, Hangman, Omega, and the Young Bucks talking to each other. FTR compares Hangman to a young Barry Windham. Hangman says he doesn't know who that is, and FTR is like, are you serious? Kenny doesn't know who those people, who he is either. And he asked the FTR, is he from where you guys came from? Speaking of Barry Windham, because he doesn't know who he is. Really funny. And what's important about this is these are more Four Horsemen references. I've been saying for a while, I think the Four Horsemen, I don't know if they're going to call it that, but if they do a four-person group in AEW, I think the four wrestlers should be Cody, FTR, and Hangman. And for them to compare Hangman to Barry Windham just keeps planting those seeds. FTR winds up giving the Young Bucks and Omega some chocolate milk. And along with Hangman and FTR holding beers, they all cheers. And Kenny loves the chocolate milk. And this is where he just does more and more of his overacting. Really cringy. But he really, really loves that they're all, you know, friends at this point, it seems like. After that, we go to a room where the Dark Order is all arguing with each other. Jungle Boy is in the room. They wind up kicking him out because they think he's Griff Garrison. Silver even calls him, even says to him, quote, you're a fake Jungle Boy, get out of here, you know, and the whole deal. Brody winds up coming in, and he's like, hey, did we finally get to talk to Jungle Boy? And Dark Order is trying to cover for Silver because Brody's like, Silver, are you the reason, like, did you F this up? And everyone's covering for him. Evil Uno's covering for him. Everyone's covering for Silver. And then Brody turns to Stu Grayson, who is his, you know, right man, you know, right hand man at this point. And Grayson immediately snitches on Silver. And then Brody pelts Silver in the head with papers. Just great stuff. Dark Order is my favorite thing about being the Elite right now. Love it. After that, we get a whole thing about Matt Hardy talking to the Young Bucks about how he needs to be Matthew Hardy. He's been talking about this on Impact as well and in Twitter and stuff, so y'all probably get the gist. He wants to be a pillar of AEW. There's been no crowds. You know, this whole thing with Sammy Guevara. All these reasons why he needs to just be Matthew Hardy and not be all these different characters. Right after that, the Young Bucks are talking about how they need all the Matt Hardys. And then Matt Jackson basically sees in his head, he has this whole conversation with Big Money Matt that Nick can't see. And then Nick winds up having this whole conversation with version one Matt Hardy that Matt can't see, Matt Jackson. And version one even mentions to Nick about the Young Bucks being bullied off of Twitter, which was really, really funny, actually, for him to say that. And then Matt and Nick are talking to each other, and Nick's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Like, we need some rest, and that's a shoot. And when he mentions shoot, then the multiverse thing happens, and Broken Matt is explaining the term shoot in wrestling. Brandon Cutler walks in, and he can't hear or see Matt Hardy, similar to how the Bucks couldn't see each other with Matt Hardy. So basically, all these versions of Matt Hardy are basically haunting the Young Bucks right now. After that, Colt Cabana is looking for Kenny Omega. He walks into Kenny's office or dressing room. He winds up eating some cake and then takes a nap on the couch with the tag team title belt. After this, we see the best friends walking down a hallway looking for Brandon Cutler, who's filming, so Cutler hides. Trent has a paint can, like Home Alone, and Orange Cassidy has a plastic knife. These are all ideas they came up with last week on how they're going to kill Brandon Cutler. They walk in the room. It's dark. Colt Cabana is sleeping there on the couch from the last segment. They basically start doing a whole bunch of stuff. And just some of the funnier things you hear them talking about from this room, because you don't see it, you just hear it. You hear Chuck yell, take his shorts, which I thought was really funny. Orange Cassidy says, he's jerking him off, which I thought was hilarious. They start talking about how they're sharing cake with each other while they're in there. Colt says he needs a doctor, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Orange Cassidy, at the end, you can hear him say, I'm going to take a piece of cake for the road, which I think was hilarious. They wind up leaving the room, and they're in the hallway, and they see Brandon Cutler there, and Orange Cassidy's like, you know, hey, Brandon, want some cake? And then the best friends are all like, you know, why aren't you murdered? And Brandon winds up dropping the camera as best friends try to attack him, and Brandon runs away. And the show ends as the best friends are trying to, like, ask themselves, like, okay, so who do we just kill? And obviously it was, you know, Colt Cabana in there. So that's it for Being the Elite, and that's it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk_. That's FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.